My name is Rod Edmund, and I'm acting chair of the New Zealand Studies Network. And I'm just going to say a few words, well, I'm basically welcoming you. And then Janet Wilson, who has with me put together the book to celebrate Rose's 80th birthday, will then speak at slightly longer length. And then I believe Fleur has been persuaded to say a very few words after Janet has finished speaking. First of all, can I welcome everybody here? Can I welcome in particular the New Zealand High Commissioner, Sir Lockwood Smith, and his wife, Lady Alexandra. But we're delighted to have you here. I was going to say honoured, but actually just it's an informal occasion just to say how very pleased we are that you've come, and indeed how touched we are that you've been able to come this evening. I'd like to thank again, in particular, all of those who contributed to the fest shoot for Fleur, which is almost impossible to say. I've been practicing all day. In fact, Mary described it as a Fleur shoot, which I think is much more euphonious. Here we are in the centre of Bloomsbury in this beautifully proportioned room, which was once the library of John Maynard Keynes, with paintings by members of the Bloomsbury group. There's a Vanessa Bell on that wall there. Do, if you have a chance this evening, have a look around and just appreciate the elegance of this room. Putting together this book with Janet, it began, I suppose, you might think of it as a very long birthday card, or as the day turns out, also a very long Valentine's Day card by many, many hands. But in fact, what's happened is it's become an anthology, which I feel really very honoured to have been associated with. All the poets and prose writers, among whom are numbered some of the great and good in British poetry, have really pulled the stops out. And the poems are fine. No one, I think, has gone to their filing cabinet and dug out something. They've all made a real effort, and they've produced an anthology which seems to me to be of considerable literary merit. An anthology on the subject of Fleur. A number of the poems and the prose pieces have drawn attention to those particular qualities of Fleur's poetry, drawing attention to her elegance, her precision, her wit, her satire, her command of voice and tone and form, drawn attention to the themes that she deals with, very relevant for this occasion, I think, the way in which she has mined and explored the tension between having been born and growing up in New Zealand and having spent most of her life in Britain, still being closely connected with her country of origin. A lot of Fleur's poetry occupies a sort of a point of tension between apparent opposites, whether it's generations or past and present, Fleur herself and her forebears. And the New Zealand-UK theme is a very big one in Fleur's writing. I wanted, though, to draw attention to something which is perhaps so obvious it's been taken for granted, but I just wanted to say a word or two about Fleur's extraordinary imagination, and to draw attention to two poems in particular that I think are very, very fine indeed. One is A Surprise in the Peninsula, one of the most chilling and disturbing poems that I know, a poem which I think is purely imagined. It's suffused with the threat of violence, and its tone is matter-of-fact and everyday, and that tone, that voice of the poem, in fact, heightens the sense of threat that hovers around the poem. I think it's an extraordinary piece. And the other very different kind of poem that I think attests to the wonderful quality of Fleur's imagination. This is a particular favourite of mine, well known, it's been anthologised several times, I know. And that is her poem Blue Glass, which blossoms with the secret life of a young girl, Janie or Sharon, as Fleur says in the poem, you can call her if you like. It's a poem of extraordinary transfigurations. An attic becomes a bluebell wood. The wood of rafters becomes the wood of trees. the mind and the body of the young girl fused together in a most beautiful way. And both poems are very, very different, I think, attest to the very particular, the very, I mean this in the best way, the very strange and vivid quality of Fleur's imagination. Fleur is a poet of many registers, and of course we're here tonight primarily to celebrate her 80th birthday, but also to celebrate a lifetime of writing such wonderful poems.
Well, greetings everyone. It's wonderful to see so many of Fleur's friends and friends of the New Zealand Studies Network here tonight. People who've come from quite a distance. I know some from Ireland, others who couldn't make it down from Hull because of the flooding and the trains. But it's wonderful that so many of you did actually get here. I just want to say a few words about how this came about, the Fest Trip. Rod has already given you sort of a glimpse. Fleur has been a great supporter of the New Zealand Studies Network since it began in 2011, and has read on many occasions with other New Zealand poets when we've arranged these readings. She's also been a dedicated member of the New Zealand London Reading Group, and it's the Reading Group and the New Zealand Studies Network that have organised this event tonight. And Rod and I, as the compilers of the Fest Trift, have called on them at different moments while we've been in preparation. The idea originally came from Julian Stannard, and I don't even know if he's here tonight because I've never met him, but he is the only other person who's written a whole book on Fleur, and he flagged this up quite some time ago. So, in absentia, Julian, thank you. Before I move on, I'd like to give a vote of thanks to those who've helped. Not just Rod, who's been a great sort of co-editor with me, but Mary Ensor and Pat Neville and Moira Taylor, all from the Reading Group and the New Zealand Studies Network. And Larissa here, my great research assistant coordinator, who really spent a lot of time this week proofreading and formatting until we... our eyes were on stalks just to get this to the point of being here. And, of course, I now have to confess, this is not the best kept secret in the world. Far from it. We had to ask Fleur's consent. Then we had to acquire from her the list of possible contributors. Then we had to ask her what photo she had to be on the cover and where they should go. But I think some of the contents are a secret. And certainly no one else except one or two favoured people have seen it since it actually arrived here tonight. So I'm hoping that I can pass this to you, Fleur, without you having any idea what's in it. So these poems and prose pieces all, of course, testify to friendships and acquaintances with Fleur. They are mainly poems, of course, but there are some prose reflections and tributes that we've put to the second half of the volume. And I just want to briefly mention the reminiscences by Fleur's sister, the writer Marilyn Duckworth, who lives in New Zealand, reminiscences about their childhood, also a poem or two, and reflections by people who've known Fleur over the years and who, like me, have taught her work in schools and universities, all written with affectionate respect and acknowledgement of the special qualities of Fleur's poetry that Rod has so eloquently described to us, and of her presence, both as a person and as a poet. Wendy Cope, for example, tells how Fleur got her started in writing, and Anne Stevenson, who couldn't come tonight, considers what they went through together as fellow poets, becoming outspoken in the feminist 80s and surviving the shutting down of the Oxford University Press poetry list in 1999 by going to Blood Axe. There are others that single out the very moment when they first encountered Fleur, one from a contemporary from student days at Victoria University of Wellington, New Zealand, in the 1950s. Or if it was the work that encountered that constituted the encounter, or it was the volume that they first read, or the poem that opened their eyes. The poem by Michael Longley recalls giving of gifts. Throughout all these reflections, and as I was reading them through, there is always a hint or a flavour of Fleur herself, of her very own words, her special take on life, stemming from her acute observation, her wit, her satirical humour. A sense, then, that she is a test tripped herself comes not just from the photos, but the appearance of her own turns of phrase coming from other people's mouths, even the titles of her books and poems. St. James's Park is a favourite, as she practised her accent when she first arrived in England. And so is We Are Kind to Snails, speaking as mother to son in the poem to a five-year-old. Others come from a poem called Things, all the worst things that come stalking in when you cannot sleep at 5 a.m. And from another poem called New Work, poems, quote, that sing in my head, tingle along my nerves. It's all magnificently about to begin. And another poem about her return to England after going back to New Zealand for the first time. It makes me laugh. It makes me want to sing. So it's an indication that a poet has really made her mark on a community or culture when particular phrases float round in common discourse like this, evoking ideas, feelings and positions that are distinctive of her and which we now share. Fleur's poetry does that, making you aware of a particular act or condition by encapsulating it in a memorable line or phrase. Smokers for celibacy was a bit of a catchword in the 1980s, for example, just before smoking in public was banned. And Against Coupling, written in 1971, anticipated some of the sentiments of the women's movement in the 1980s. So it's not surprising that with such distinct and catchy phrases, many of her shorter poems were published on the underground, the London tubes, where they could be read by people commuting to work. But my understanding of Fleur is somewhat different from this public perception, and I now go back to what Rod was saying about the tension in her work between here and there, and the divided loyalties, attempt to balance the two cultures, the two worlds that she's lived in, that she has affiliations with. She is that very rare poet, someone who's actually moved away from her place of origin and made her life in another society, far from her original home. This is not usual. Poets like to remain close to their native soil. They have a strong homing instinct. The only other one I can think of that I have ever met is the Australian Peter Porter. Fleur, though, has made a virtue of being an expatriate since she arrived here permanently in 1963. And many poems reflect this move. The return trips home to New Zealand over many years, the long distance travel, she's written a long distance travel poem which takes a long time to read, the separations, the phone and the Skype calls to family, the sense of perhaps being an exile, recorded on her first return visit to New Zealand after 13 years, and the more recent poems, childhood memories of growing up there. In these ways, she may be called our greatest expatriate poet. No other writer from New Zealand has written so eloquently, extensively, and acutely about these issues. 2013 was a truly memorable year for New Zealand literature, with the enormous success of Eleanor Catton's The Luminaries winning the Booker Prize. But no single writer from New Zealand has actually made the same impact on British society over the last 40 years as Fleur has. None has the same sustained record of achievement with at least 15 volumes of poetry and awards from many quarters. The OBE in 1996, the Queen's Gold Medal for Poetry in 2006, and the Honorary Doctorate from Victoria University, Wellington in the same year. Fleur, in saluting you and this magnificent contribution to both the UK and New Zealand, we actually know your work is far from over. At least some of us know that the very last book launch held in the same room was in fact for Fleur's new book of poems, Glass Wings. So a first trip is not the last word. We look forward to more. And finally, in this context, this occasion takes me back to the beginnings. For indeed, this is not just the anniversary of Fleur's 80th birthday. 2014 marks the 50th anniversary of the publication of her first book of poems, The Eye of the Hurricane, published in New Zealand in 1964, just after she had arrived in the UK and when all that has happened was yet to come. On behalf of everyone, Fleur, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. It'll be a very few words, but thank you, Ron and Janet, for what I can only call graceful tributes, and for this wonderful book. Well, I think it's wonderful, I'm sure it is. I've had it dead inside after all that hard work and all the names that have been mentioned. My God, I knew I'd feel overwhelmed. I'm not going to cry, though, because it's not the Oscars. In fact, I think it's better than the Oscars. So thank you very much, everybody. And
can I just say that everyone is very welcome to take a copy of it. It's somewhere hidden away. It's so secretly hidden, I can't remember where it is. But we'll dig it out.
And thank you for all the helpers and Mary and the food people and the boat people and Pat and... Another drink.